Will Witt here, glad to be here for Will Anomala Live. Today is December 28th, Tuesday, 2021. The year is almost out, so I hope you guys are thinking about New Year's resolutions, if you guys are into that. I am not a New Year's resolution type of person, but one of my New Year's resolutions, if I were to make one, is to invest my money wisely. Today we are talking about the U.S. economy, which in turn is essentially the world economy because the dollar is the apparently strongest thing that we have within this economy. And so I'm going to be discussing today, kind of like my rant yesterday about COVID, Omicron, and what's happening there, we are going to be discussing the U.S. economy. But before I get into that, guys, please, at the end of the show, I'm going to be answering your guys' questions about what I'm talking about today or general questions, whatever it is. I want to hear from you guys, so please let me know. I'm an open book. So whatever you want to know, please drop it down below. All right, let's talk about the U.S. economy and what is happening, because I know so many people are worried about it right now. I'm sure that many of you guys have now come to realize that your dollar is not worth the same that it used to be. Okay, people think that prices of things are going up, but what's actually happening is that the value of your dollar is going down. That is an entirely different thing. Okay, from 2008 to 2014, the Federal Reserve printed $3.5 billion Federal Reserve notes. Okay, we're going to get into the Federal Reserve in a second, but I want you guys to remember that in the back of your head about what has been happening in this country since the 1970s. Wages have stagnated. The quality of life for people, for the average American, has also gone down, except for about household appliances. The quality of life for most people in America has gone down as things have gotten more expensive. The price of university, education, healthcare, medicine. Expenses on rent, these kinds of things. All of this has gotten more expensive since the 1970s in America, as well as the rest of the world. And even though compensation has stayed the same, productivity has gone up. All right, in the 1970s, about people like women and people like immigrants got into the workforce. All right, this isn't a necessarily bad thing, but what happens when you add so many people to the labor work, to the labor force? Well, it drives the value of labor down. It means that labor doesn't mean as much because you have more people willing to do the jobs. And so that is what happened in the 1970s. And so wages have basically stayed the same. Even though inflation has shot up, wages have stayed about the same. This is why it seems like you are actually poor. Let's look at Chicago, for example. In the 1970s, 50% of the people in Chicago lived in the middle class. That number is now 16% of the people in Chicago live in the middle class. Now, since the 1980s, there have been four times the amount of millionaires within America, but people have also gotten poorer. In the state of California alone, one in five people live below the poverty line. Half of the nation's homeless lives in California. Yet we have some of the wealthiest people in the nation living here in California. Income inequality is something when I was starting out as a conservative talker and going and reading things about this and talking about income inequality, everyone said income inequality is actually a good thing. You know, this is something that I've heard from conservatives all the time, especially back in the day. Excuse me, that income inequality is a good thing when you have people getting really rich. It will, even if there's a divide, it also helps the poor get rich. Now, in a purely capitalist sense, this is true. Okay, if the rich are getting rich, that means because people who have less money have to go and buy the products that these people are making, right? This is when, in times of massive inflation, why the rich continue to get rich, even if the poor are spending the money that the government printed. But what is happening right now in America is that the middle of this country is being hollowed out. People are becoming poorer, especially during this COVID pandemic, and the rich are getting richer. And there is no one in Congress on either the Republican side or the Democrat side who is actually talking about this income inequality that we are seeing. And that is because the government are the ones who are responsible for all of this. Congress is responsible for the massive debt that we are seeing right now. They are responsible for inflation. They are responsible for your dollar being valued less than what it used to be 5, 10, 15 years ago. Why are you wanting to buy a car or go and buy a piece of land or a house or wanting to go to university? Why all of these things now cost significantly more than they used to. Even though your wages have stayed the same, the things that you need have gone up in value. This is why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer in this country. Okay, let's take an example so I can really show you guys how this works. All right, imagine the Federal Reserve, Congress comes in. Congress comes in and says, hey, we need $3.5 trillion for Build Back Broke. All right, they need $3.5 trillion. And so they go to the Federal Reserve and they say, hey, we need this money. And so the Federal Reserve basically writes, it's not a check, but it's essentially a check from the Federal Reserve, even though the Federal Reserve is a central bank, it's not actually a bank. So the Federal Reserve writes $3.5 trillion, and now Congress takes that money and they spend it on whatever they want. Maybe it is healthcare for their workers, or maybe it's for building roads, or, you know, maybe for pointless wars in the Ukraine. Who knows what this $3.5 trillion is for? But they have instituted this and they have gotten the money. Okay, now imagine you are a post office worker, and the government just spent this $3.5 trillion that the Federal Reserve gave them. Okay, and out of that $3.5 trillion is your paycheck. You work for the government as a postman, and you got $100. Okay, let's say we're just going to make this easy. You got $100, right? You got this $100 from the government that the Federal Reserve just created out of nothing. You go to the bank and you tell the bank and you say, hey, I would like to take out a loan for using this $100, right? And so because you gave $100, banks can now, the Federal Reserve has ensured this, that they can let people borrow up to 10 times what they actually give. So now you have given $100 of fake money to the bank. And I know kind of all this is a little above the shoulders, okay? I'm trying my best to explain this as well possible to you guys so you understand what is happening in this country by giving you an example right here, okay? But you give this $100 to the bank and they say, now we can loan you $900 more because of this first $100, because the Federal Reserve has insured their money 10 times on the principle of what people have given in, okay? So now you don't just have that $100 that was fake created money given by the Federal Reserve, you now have 10 times that, okay? So the $3.5 trillion that was originally $3.5 trillion is now 10 times that, or at least to the amount that people are going and depositing this money in a bank. This is what the Federal Reserve has done, and this is why your dollar means absolutely nothing. If they can just create money and then lend people money that is not real, the value of your money means nothing. And then if you have more people in the workforce and you have no labor shortages, because there are so many people trying to come into this country or other people getting different types of jobs, your labor means nothing. So now you have your dollar means nothing and your labor means nothing. And I know a lot of people will look at, you know, the price, the value of the U.S. dollar as compared to other currencies. And they will say, hey, well, the U.S. dollar, it means it's at the exact same, right? It hasn't changed. All the other world currencies, they've all stayed exactly the same. But that's exactly the point. Why the U.S. dollar hasn't failed is because this is not just an American situation. This is a world situation where we are in the greatest era of debt in world history. There has never been a greater era of debt in the entire history of the world because of governments printing this fiat money from central banks that is not real money. Say that again. This is not real money. When Congress says we want $3.5 trillion to do something, that is not real money. Okay? They are creating fake money and then using it to spend on things. Why do you think our national debt has increased so much? Because these people have gotten trigger happy getting the Federal Reserve to just make them whatever money they want, and it's not real money. Okay? Let me explain to you a concept called quantitative easing. All right? This is something that the chief of the Federal Reserve back in 2010 said after the financial crisis of 2008. Okay? So what essentially happens? Again, I know this is a lot of information, but you guys need to understand this, that it is the government putting us in this hole and how we can actually get out of it, okay? So I will get to that, but I need to continue to explain what is actually happening. All right, so quantitative easing, which is essentially the Federal Reserve prints, I'm using the word prints loosely, prints money and then gives it to the banks. Someone like JP Morgan Chase, someone like Goldman Sachs, they give them this money and say, hey, you now have, let's say, $600 billion in your bank account, JP Morgan. And so then JP Morgan takes that money that the Federal Reserve gave them and goes and invests in that in assets across the country. So whether that is maybe natural gas, maybe that is oil, maybe that is land. So now you have these big banks who are going and investing in things across the country, making it seem like that money is real. Like, because the Federal Reserve gave them this fake money and now they're investing in real things, it makes it seem like that money was actually real. But the money was printed and is fake. So now you have big banks who are investing in things across the country with fake money. So this isn't just a problem of, again, that post office worker who got $100 and is now getting $1,000 from the bank. You know, that's small change compared to the billions of dollars that big financial firms are taking from the Fed to then go invest in things all over the world. And so right now in America, we basically have the lowest interest rates of the Fed ever. They're incredibly low. And so what happened in the 1970s when we had low interest rates on the money that was borrowed from the Fed and then they raised it? Well, the economy crashed in the 1970s. The economy crashed because once you doubled, they basically doubled the interest rates on the Federal Reserve interest payments, and banks said, we're not going to invest anymore, and all the value of everything went down. So once the value of everything went down, it made it so that people don't want to invest. This is a crazy situation that I don't know if people really have the full grasp on. I don't know if I even have the full grasp on it, to be honest. I'm trying to do my best to give you guys the clearest picture so we understand the hole that we are in as a world. This isn't just an American problem. This is a world problem, right? We're seeing in America right now that our economy is becoming a lot more insular, where we can create a lot of things ourselves. We don't have to depend on the rest of the world. Unfortunately, we still depend on China for a lot of things. We still depend on other countries for energy, even though we could easily have our own energy. We could be energy independent because of the Keystone Pipeline, which was going to happen. And then they said, no, we're not going to do that because of climate change concerns or whatever else that is, which is all complete nonsense. I mean, if you saw these protesters who were at the climate change, the Keystone Pipeline, they left trash and signs and all sorts of garbage around, which is horrible for the environment. This was even before the Keystone Pipeline was being created, right? So these people don't actually care about the environment. Anyway, what we are seeing in America right now is an unprecedented financial crisis, which could be coming to this country. Okay, now I know a lot of people are probably asking in the comments. I know Chris is sending me questions right now. They're probably asking about Bitcoin. They're asking about cryptocurrency, NFTs, things like that. I have more faith in cryptocurrency than really NFTs. NFTs to me seem like a very worthless type of deal. I don't know why people put so much time into them and investing in them. It seems worthless. But cryptocurrency, what's going to happen is, if things keep happening the way they are going to blame cryptocurrency for inflation. That is what the federal government is going to do. The federal government, the chair of the Federal Reserve now is already coming out and saying that this economic inflation, this is all transitory, right? This is going to pass. This is all transitory, even though we have doubled the debt in the last 10 years, doubled the national debt in the last 10 years. They say it's transitory, and they are going to blame cryptocurrency. Why are they going to do that? Because cryptocurrency makes it so that people can get away from the Federal Reserve Bank printing notes. What happens when you are a normal class American, like someone like me, right? Or someone like Chris, who's run the boards, or any of the other, you know, normal people working at PragerU or living in California, anywhere in the U.S., right? You are this normal person. You've been working a good job for 30 years, and you have set money aside. You've set money aside into a savings account. Maybe it has a little bit of interest rate, but it's not too much, right? Maybe you have your 401k, things like that. But what happens when inflation makes that money that is in your savings account worthless? That is the question that you need to ask, okay? Because what happens when inflation gets so bad, which is at apparently 7% now, but is actually a lot higher than that? The stock market doesn't actually reflect inflation because the stock market is essentially good for the people investing in the stock market are making a lot of money during inflation because they are buying things for a higher price. Anyway, but the money in your bank account is going to lose its value. The money that you have been saving for years and years and years because of inflation, and the value of your dollar goes down. So that's what's going to happen in this country right now. And it's already happening. I mean, and many of you guys who have savings, you understand that maybe you are saving up to buy a house, yet the price of housing in Los Angeles in just the last year has gone up 33%. You know, have your savings gone up 33%? I doubt it. I doubt your savings have gone up that much in the last year unless you do something incredibly lucrative and make a ton of money. For most people, that is out of the question. So the money that you have been saving actually means nothing if inflation continues to rise because the federal government continues to borrow more money from the Federal Reserve. And when I say borrow money, it's not even real money. They're just printing fake money. That's essentially what they're doing. It is all fake money that they are printing. So what can you do? Well, the number one thing that you can do is vote people out of office who are going and saying we need to continue to raise the debt ceiling and saying we need to continue to have all these different programs and this bureaucracy and work with the swamp. The people who are involved in special interests within our Congress are the worst people in America, because what they are doing is sending America into economic failure. They're sending our country into economic failure because they keep pushing for all of these different programs that they don't have to deal with because their salaries don't change. You didn't see one congressperson's salary change during the COVID pandemic as other people all lost their jobs. Their salaries don't change, but they are fine with printing more money, more and more money, to no abandon. They don't care at all. So the first thing has to be getting people out of office who want to continually spend money that they don't have. All right? People who continually spend money that they don't have are the worst people in Congress right now. Okay, you have to fight against that. You have to look at all of these people's records and find out what they are going to do. You do not want politicians who are coming in and saying, I'm going to fix everything with this country. You want politicians who come into office and say, I am going to get out of the way. You want politicians who are going to protect your rights, not say that you need all of these different things. All right? And that is on both sides of the aisle. There are Republicans and Democrats who are both voting for these things and sending our country into peril and into debt. It is on both sides. You need to look out for these people and make sure you know what you're voting for. It is so incredibly important. The second thing is do your own research, okay? This is beyond me. I'm giving you guys, in terms of the stuff that I'm telling you guys today about what is happening with the economy, I'm giving you guys the bare minimum from someone who is reading these things and looking at the news and seeing the economy and all these different things and taking it and spitballing it back to you. You have to be someone to also go out there and do your own research, okay? I can't tell you everything. Prager, you can't tell you everything. There's a lot more out there for you guys to see what is happening, okay? Thirdly, cryptocurrency. I think it can be the future, but I see the government continually regulating it. I think there's going to be huge tax. What's the word I'm looking for, Chris? Tax. They're going to tax you heavily, is what I'm trying to say. They're trying to tax you heavily for cryptocurrency when you actually take the cryptocurrency out and try and get your money. That is what is going to happen. They're going to heavily regulate the market. So what you really need to do is invest in gold and silver. This is really because these things are backed, all right? The gold and silver, it's backed, all right? Whereas the cryptocurrency, I think the government is going to heavily regulate it. I don't want to be all doom and gloom on this podcast today. There are definitely things you can do. You can have assets that actually are good for you, things that actually won't lose their value. You can buy things that aren't on credit, so you don't have any debt. If you're going to buy a car, if you're a young person right now in America watching this and you're going to buy a car, don't go and buy a new Ferrari and have to take out a $100,000 loan. Instead, go buy a car that you already have the money for. All right? Don't get an apartment where now you are living rent paycheck to paycheck because you wanted to have a spin bike in the apartment complex if you can't afford it, right? Don't go buy avocado toast every morning if you can't afford it. You have to be more frugal with your money and not get yourself into debt, because where our country is headed is not a good place, okay? The amount of money the government has created out of nothing is sending our country into ridiculous amounts of debt. Guys, remember, you can ask questions down below for me to answer in this episode. It can be about what I'm talking about now. It can be about anything, really. COVID, anything I talked about yesterday. I would like to say two things from yesterday. When I talked about New Brunswick and the grocery store is not allowing people to go in unless you had a vax card or choosing to be able to. I didn't realize that they actually got that reversed. And that's a huge win. That is an amazing thing that those people stood up, they went and they protested outside those supermarkets and they got them to reverse the decisions. That is an awesome thing. Second one, yesterday I said Daisy wrote me this letter. Daisy did write me a letter, but I meant to say Julia is the one who wrote me a letter yesterday that I was referring to. I know for most of you guys are like, what are you talking about? I didn't even watch yesterday's show, but for the people who heard these things, I just want to make that clear. Julia, thank you so much for the letter, and Daisy as well. Thank you so much. Did you send me questions, Chris? Oh, a bunch. Okay. Brenda said, Will, are you a leftist? No, I'm not a leftist. Why would you ask that? Because I talked about income inequality? This is the problem. This is the problem with so much of this, is that, like, I want to come on and talk about things that are affecting you. They're affecting me. They're affecting everyone in America. Right? Income inequality, when the rich get richer and the poor get poor, right? Apparently that's some leftist talking point, but it's happening right now to everyday Americans, and they want to pigeonhole you into thinking that you can't talk about this unless you get considered a leftist. That is an asinine way to think, okay? Problems are happening, and it doesn't matter if you're on the left or right. This is the elites in this country who are taking advantage of us versus the rest of us, okay? Before I'm a Republican or a conservative, I am someone who cares about the goodwill of the American people. That is what I care about. If you want to say that I'm a leftist for talking about income inequality, go ahead. Go ahead. It doesn't really matter to me. What I want to do is make people's lives better. I want them to be educated. I want them to be prepared for what is going to happen. I want every American to have equal opportunity to be able to live out their dream. If you look back at ancient Rome, okay, one of the major reasons of ancient Rome collapsing was, first of all, inflation, because their coins started to be less and less. Then they had immigration, same as we have in America today, which we they're not assimilating. Many of the people who come into this country are not assimilating into this country. This diversity is our strength nonsense is going to be the death of us as a country. But also, they had slavery, and they relied too heavily on slavery, okay? Now, slavery in ancient Rome was different than you would think about the slavery in the transatlantic slave trade here in America. But this slavery essentially made it so that people didn't want to work, okay? It devalued labor. Slavery in ancient Rome devalued labor, okay? Now, what do you have in America today? When you have people who are getting poorer, when the middle class is disappearing and you have people who are getting poorer and they see a rich population continuing to get richer and richer, what does that make them feel like? It makes them feel like they are slaves. The money that they get from their jobs, from their careers, goes towards food, it goes towards their rent, things that they don't really have a choice because they have to have these things to survive, and they don't have enough money for extracurricular things, while as the elites and the rich in this country are going and buying yachts, and they're essentially, I mean, I just saw this thing the other day, that the elite are running out of private jets. They've bought so many private jets, they now have to go and make more. It's absolutely wild. So you are turning the people of America into economic slaves to these people when you destroy the middle class. The middle class in any sort of society throughout history is the economic group that creates change in the country, okay? Because the middle class are usually middle-aged people who are then investing in other things across the economy. When you no longer have a middle class, you only have an elite oligarchy that controls the majority of the poorer people. That is what is happening. But the fact that people aren't talking about it is wild to me. And the fact that there are still conservatives who will just come on and say, oh, you're a leftist, is beyond me. It's beyond me. You are asking the wrong questions. I do not care if you are a leftist or a Republican or whatever. I do not care. I care if you love good things and you hate evil. That is what matters to me. And that is what we all have to be fighting against. You know, if people want to pigeonhole me, go ahead. It doesn't really matter to me. George said, hey, Will, I'm a progressive and I agree with you. We all know that money is broken. I believe that socialism is the solution to the crisis. What is your message to progressives like me? Sorry. I thought the question continued. Wow. I just answered a question about leftism and now I got a progressive agreeing with me. Listen, my message to progressives like you is to break away from all of the woke nonsense. All right, the woke nonsense that these people are pushing on you, the climate change, the wokeness, the gender stuff, the critical race theory, these things are entrenched in leftism. All right, the radical social justice warrior left is leftism today. All right, the days of the left actually caring about being anti-big business, these things are dead and gone. All right, no, barely anyone on the left actually cares about these things anymore. Now it's just about who has more intersectionality in the economy, right? In this, there was a thing today that I just saw that it was like California schools are going to pay teachers of color more than white teachers. That is what the left represents. If you want to help America as someone who considers themselves a progressive, break away from all of the nonsense that the left talks about, things that are destroying this country culturally, right? This isn't just an economic problem. I mean, a return to traditionalism is what we really need in this country. A return to traditional American values is what our country is craving and needs more now than ever. More now than ever. The entire world needs it, especially Western Europe. Western Europe really needs it. That is what you have to do. You have to break away from these other things to come together with the left populist and the right populist to come together to battle against the elites in this country. I care about the common man. That is what I believe in. That is what I care about. But thank you. I'm glad that you're watching the show. Darren said, do you think the US dollar could no longer be the world currency? Well, I think that if what I am talking about happens, you know, a lot of people talk about the Great Reset and things like that. And, you know, if something like that were to happen, I don't think that the US dollar would still be around. I think that it would move to a digital currency. I think that with the Great Reset, it would be entirely globalized and there would be no US dollar. It would be, you know, I don't know, what's a name for a world currency that we could create, you know? The Prager dollar or the Bitcoin, you know, whatever it is. I don't know. But there would be something that is like the world currency. So I don't know if it would be the US dollar. I mean, as the world gets more and more globalized, globalization, you know, globalization has done some good for the world, okay? Because of globalization, it has meant that millions and millions of people across the world have been able to get out of poverty, right? World hunger, in many ways, has basically been solved. I think there's like 800 million people in the world who are hungry, yet there's like 2 million obese people. 200 million obese people, 2 billion obese people in the world, 800 million people who are hungry in the world, right? That is insane. That is insane that you have that many people who are obese compared to that many people who actually need food in the world, right? World hunger has in many ways been eradicated across the world. And that is because of globalization. Now, but the extreme globalization that we're talking about with when it comes to this Great Reset or whatever these people want to call it, or just the economy in general, is I think the U.S. dollar will no longer be around. I think it'll be more of a some sort of globalist coin or something. Again, I don't really know exactly, but it's something like that. Nikki said, Will, are you drinking coffee? If so, how do you drink it? No, this is hot chocolate. I don't know if you guys can see it. I love hot chocolate. It's one of my guilty pleasures. I have a few guilty pleasures in life. One of them is hot chocolate. But we don't have milk here at the PragerU office for me to make it, unless I want to do this whole thing with the latte machine. It's all too confusing for my small brain. So I just do hot water and hot chocolate mix. No, Chris, if you want to make me hot chocolate, I would pay you. I would give you a Witcoin. One hot chocolate equals one Witcoin. Denise said they blame crypto because they can't control it. That's exactly right. If they can't control something, then they blame it for the problem. Okay, it's like them coming out and saying, oh, parents who want to stand up to their school board meetings, those are domestic terrorists. They label them as domestic terrorists because they can't control these parents. They want to control them by telling them that they are an evil, horrible person. That is the left tactics when it comes to fear and control, is that you want to blame the people who are outside of your control for the errors that are happening within your society. That is how they do it. That's the same thing with the unvaccinated. If you are unvaccinated, what do these people come out and say? They basically say that you are an other. You are not entitled to live in this society with us. You cannot go into the same restaurants. You cannot go into the same bars. You cannot go and buy this. You know, in Washington, D.C., essentially has, they have the new vax mandates in their state. What is going to happen? When the Federal Reserve prints more money and Congress does something stupid and people want to come into Washington, D.C. and say, hey, I want to protest against this, well, now they come to the Capitol steps and the Capitol Police are there and they say, hey, you can't protest here unless you have a vaccine card. This is the future that we are looking at, people. Craziness like this. Craziness absolutely like this. When they can't control it, then they blame someone for the horrible things that have happened. This is the fear tactics that they use to control all of us. Do not let them make you afraid. Do not let them, when they label you as something, take that as a sign of respect, that they do not have anything better to say about you or to battle your arguments when they call you a racist or an anti-vaxxer or a conspiracy theorist or any of these kind of things. All right? None of this stuff that I'm talking about also today is conspiracy theory. This stuff that I'm talking about with the Federal Reserve and everything, I mean, this is in The Hill, this is in Politico, this is in CNN. I mean, all sorts of major news sites are reporting on this stuff. I'm just putting it in a way that I can distill it to you guys here. Okay? If you guys want, on my blog, thewillwit.substack.com, you guys can subscribe there. I might do a full piece on this for people to maybe understand more and maybe write it down more eloquently than I have said it here today. I hope it wasn't too confusing. I know a lot of this stuff, it feels like it's above the shoulders, but this is the problem, is that people will come in and say, oh, you need experts to come and explain this stuff. You need experts who went to Harvard Law School and now work in the Federal Reserve Bank or in the government, and they need to come and explain, you know, here's how the world economy works, and you don't need to worry about it because you're just some guy who works at he's a trucker or he works at a restaurant or something, and you don't need to worry about the economy. Let the experts handle that. That type of mentality is why we are in the place that we are in today, because they have told you that while they continue to print fake fiat money that has driven our economy into the ground. Just because you are not an expert in something or one of these supposed experts does not mean that you shouldn't know about it. Okay? This stuff you can learn. You can learn about all this. You just have to go and do the research. Oscar said, Will, do you believe that America needs a savior and needs to embrace Jesus, or what is your viewpoint? For me, I am a baptized Christian. As of January 16th of this year, I was baptized in the name of our Lord by Pastor Jack Hibbs in Huntington Beach, or Hermosa Beach, sorry. And it was the greatest moment of my life. I take God incredibly seriously and what he means to our world, all right? Ever since I've been baptized, and, you know, even before that, getting more into my Christian faith, before it was like my politics drove everything, now my faith drives the politics that I preach. When I talk about this stuff, especially when I was just talking about earlier about leftism, conservatism, where that girl called me a leftist, it's like, I don't care about that. I care about what the truth is. I care about what is good. I care about what is biblically true, right? Those types of things matter to me. So when I'm talking about stuff, you can label me whatever you want, but I'm trying my best to do the best of biblically sound, right? I know this stuff about Federal Reserve obviously doesn't relate to too much in the Bible or anything like that. But it doesn't matter the side as long as you are on the side of good. The other labels don't really seem to matter so much in the grand scheme of things. Aubert Herbert, a philosopher back in the day, he used to talk about ciphers. Ciphers are essentially what the political parties use to turn you into someone who doesn't have to think. If you are part of a political party, then the political party says you need to think this way. People no longer have their own agency to go and think about something a different type of way. Right? Or to go against the party. Because people would rather be in the majority of the party, the political party, than actually think for themselves as an individual. It's much easier to have some big group come and say, here's our talking points, here's what you think. And you say, yes, yes, okay. Versus having to go and do the research yourself and find something out. Okay? Obviously, I'm a very conservative person in so many of the things I believe in. But that is less important to me than my faith and my belief in God. That is what drives me. And I think that America needs more of that. What effect will debt in communist China play on the world stage? Asked Chuck. That's a great question. So the debt in China, if people don't know the debt in China, I mean, it is much larger than the debt in the United States. I mean, China is having, will have an economic crisis probably before the United States. But what China will probably have to do is turn incredibly insular to themselves. I don't think that China is going to have some sort of massive craziness that affects the rest of the world, unless you know it's really, really bad. But their economy, they're going to have to turn incredibly into themselves to fix their economic problems within China. Okay, they have 3-to-1 GDP debt to 3-to-1 debt to GDP ratio. I mean, it is terrible right now in China. What else are you having in China? China has an incredibly old population. All right, China has an incredibly old population. So does America, by the way, but not as bad. But China has an incredibly old population, which means that there is no middle generation left in China in a couple of years that are going to be the ones driving the economy forward. So much of their GDP and capital is going to be spent on actually taking care of the old people in China. Right? This is happening in a lot of westernized countries where we have these populations that are going to be very old, very quick, and there isn't going to be that middle of the road type of person to invest in the economy anymore, and all of the money and all of the resources are going to have to be taking care of the elder. All right, this is something I didn't mention before, but it's actually really important. The aging populations within all of these countries. All right, look at the ages of so many of these people, and you will understand that there is not going to be that middle-aged class of people to take care of the economy. You're going to have lots of young people and lots of old people, and by golly, that will screw things up pretty badly. Will, when do you think our economy will, haha, no pun intended, finally crash? I have no idea. I'm not good at these type of questions because I'm not a Harvard-trained economist. You know, I was just talking about experts and things. But in all seriousness, I am not someone who can totally study this and say, I know exactly when this is going to happen or pin to a certain thing or have the time to even look at all the bank trends and dollar trends and things like that. These types of things are always hard to predict, even if you are someone who does all those kinds of things. So I don't know. I mean, if I was a betting man, I mean, I would guess within the next 10 years. I would say within the next 10 years, there is going to be something to happen. You know, if the government raises the interest rate on the Federal Reserve loans, then things are going to get bad very fast because all of the investments in things like land, you know, people, when there's inflation, people go and they bought land, right? Let's say, or land or oil or natural gas. They went and bought these things because the price of these things was going up. So they thought of it as a safe investment, right? They thought the same with real estate. They say, hey, the price of this land is going up. Why don't I invest? And I'm using invested money. I'm using money to invest from banks that got printed money that was fake from the Federal Reserve. So now they're using fake money to invest in land. Well, then they raise the interest rates. Then the banks stop actually giving people loans. And the price of all of these things like land, real estate, oil, natural gas, they fall. And people who were invested in this land actually end up losing the money. They lose the money. That is how the economy crashes when you have the Federal Reserve printing all this fake money. So I can't say when that is going to happen. I don't know. But with what we're seeing right now in the economy and the rising prices, I don't know. I really don't know. I can't answer your question, but I think soon. I think within the next 10 years. And I'm not trying to be a doomsday person. Again, I want people to be prepared and educated on what is happening. Don't just take my word for it. Go and do your own research, okay? Go and do your own research. Will, because the left ruins everything it touches, is the only way to destroy the left by infiltrating the left and using the left to destroy itself. You said the left a lot of times within that sentence. But yeah, I mean, not... not necessarily infiltrate the left. There's, you can't lie about the things that you believe in, you know, unless it's for really, really like the greater good. But one thing that God will not forgive is you sinning to achieve something that would be considered moral, right? If you have to kill all these people to have your utopia, it's not really a utopia if you had to kill all these people to make it happen, right? You cannot commit evil acts in the hopes of having a good society. It just doesn't work like that. So if you are going to defeat the left, you have to be the good person. You have to rise above what the left is doing in this country. Okay, that doesn't mean that you're not playing Smash Mouth. That doesn't mean that you're not being tough and strong and saying the truth and saying it loudly and calling out evil. Doesn't mean you're a coy little person who doesn't actually say anything. I mean, I wrote about this weekend for Christmas. In communist China, Christians are taken to camps where they are sent to essentially brainwashing camps where they are tried, they are abused, they are tortured in the hopes that they give up their Christian faith. Okay? People who go and protest in China, Christians who go and protest, are taken to labor camps. And these people still don't give up their faith. They might kill themselves in the camps, or they are killed by the CCP or any of these types of things, but they don't give up their faith. They do not renounce their faith. Now, if you're a Christian in the US or in Western Europe and someone says, hey, are you a Christian? You're kind of like, oh, I'm spiritual, but not really religious. Instead of saying, well, you actually believe, because you're too scared of what that person is going to think about you for your faith. The bravery of these people across the world is admirable, right? Who are standing strong for their faith and doing the right thing despite people coming and saying, we are going to absolutely destroy your life or kill you, or kill you. What do you think Christians in America would do? What do you think they would do? Andrew said, Will, what do you think of the Army's new woke ads? You know, I can't say I've seen new woke ads unless, you know, this was in the last couple hours or something like that. I can't say that I've seen them. I've been preparing for this show and for all the other stuff I was doing at PragerU today, so I didn't get a whole lot of time. But all I know is that China is preparing a military that is incredibly strong with all sorts of new technology, and America is worrying about how many trans people are in the army. It is a complete lack of judgment. Just because America has been the world's superpower for so long does not mean that you now take a back seat and say, hey, we're not going to worry about that anymore. We're going to worry about how gay our military is or how black they are. It's such a waste of time. It's horrible. It is truly horrible. It's like something funny to laugh at when you see these ads or what the military is doing in this country. But in reality, it is much more than that. It is more than just laughing at these things. It is truly our national security at stake with what they are doing. This one said, I have a friend that just said today that he cannot afford the taxes on his land that he has owned for around 35 years. Sad. Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Okay, the government is in massive debt. They have to raise the taxes. And inflation, if you guys don't know, inflation is an invisible tax. Okay, instead of having to tax you by saying we're going to raise taxes and then putting it into your sales tax or something like that, inflation raises your tax. Okay, inflation is a hidden tax. And what does the Federal Reserve do? The Federal Reserve protects the bankers. It protects the bankers who are getting this money, quantitative easing this money. And so now when they have a crash, the banks are protected. And they make money off the interest of the loans. The banks make money off the interest of the loans who set up the Federal Reserve in the first place, if you don't know. And they are completely fine because the taxpayer is going to bail them out if anything ever happens. That is why the Federal Reserve was set up. So yeah, that's incredibly sad. I'm sorry about your friend. All right, let's do one more question. Let's see. You like any of these questions, Chris? What? Ask more questions. Ask a question that I like. I would like a good, interesting question for the end if you guys got anything. Chris is writing them down and posting them for me. So something that everyone would benefit from. I can answer this one now before we get one more. How long do you think it will take for cancel culture to eat itself, said Robert? You know, I think it's going to continue to get worse. That is what communists do. I mean, in all these communist countries throughout history, cancel culture is the cool word for what ostracization and shame was in communist countries and getting people out of society. right? It's just a cool word, cancel culture. But really, this has been happening in communist societies forever. Just like in communist, in the CCP right now. In the CCP, Uyghur Muslims, Turks, Christians, all these people are sent to labor camps. They are killed or forced to work in these places, all right? Now, you might not say, well, that's not cancel culture in the U.S. You know, U.S., we're just talking about someone getting canceled on Twitter. Yes, that is what we're talking about. But this is how these things start. In the 1930s in Nazi Germany, what happened at first, okay? They weren't just coming out and saying, oh, we hate Jews and we want to exterminate them all. They came and said, hey, we actually just don't want to give this person medical care because they don't have the right genes, right? We reserve the right to not do medical care because this person doesn't have the right face or genes or something like that. It wasn't some huge expansive thing. I mean, in 1936, the Olympics were held in Nazi Germany, in Berlin, with Hitler there, okay? So, yeah, the cancel culture is going to eat itself when the cancel culture continues to get worse. And again, I don't want to fearmonger anything and say that it's going to turn into that in America. I don't think it is, but at least right now. But it is getting to a place where, you know, it's going to continue to get more and more diabolical, where it's no longer just about, you know, this person did something actually really terrible. It is ideological differences that people want to destroy your livelihood for. Okay? That is what it is. Okay. Kevin said, why did Spider-Man do better than Matrix last weekend? I don't watch superhero movies. Never been my thing. So I can't say why Spider-Man did better. But I can say The Matrix did bad because people are saying that it's bad. I don't really have a good answer for you. I didn't watch The Matrix. I didn't watch The Matrix or Spider-Man. But from what I've heard from people who watch The Matrix, this new one is that it's absolute garbage. It tries to have the same charm as the first one, but it doesn't pass the test. It's not nearly as good. Richard said, Republicans utilize the golden rule yet are slow to defend themselves. When do we become preemptive to attacks, or we just keep building up our defenses? No, conservatives have to be on the attack. Right now in Congress, right now, we have redistricting in many states, okay? What are Republicans doing? Republicans should be taking this chance to make these things better, but they're not. So many of them are not, and they're letting the left get away with whatever they want to get away with, right? You could be redistricting and having these things be 100 seat, 100 years, right? But you are not doing that. You aren't playing Smash Mouth with these people. You are letting them get away with it. And this happens every 10 years. This isn't like a 1 to 2 year thing. This happens every 10 years. It's a big deal, right? So the conservatives do need to be on the attack. They need to be the ones who are coming and playing Smash Mouth and getting the right things done and making sure that the left is exposed for the things that they are doing. Nick said, this is the last question, how do we prepare for what is coming? I mean, first and foremost is God. That is the first and foremost thing for me, and I hope it is for all of you. If you're not religious, you know, more power to you, do your thing. But for me, this is incredibly important, and knowing that even if the world around me fails, society fails, I know that Jesus is king. That is the most important thing for me. Now, within the real world and things, you know, while you are living on this earth, what you can do, education is so important, okay? Education is so important. Again, don't just listen to me. Go and listen to other people. Go and read. Go and take the things that I've said, even with a grain of salt, and go and find out more information, all right? Everyone has an agenda. Even myself, everyone in conservative news, people on the leftist news, go and take these things with a grain of salt and go do your own research. If you are educated, you cannot be controlled to the same extent that someone who is not is being controlled. When I go and do my videos, and I ask the old videos that I used to do where I'm interviewing people on campuses, and they come and people always say, you know, how do you talk to these stupid leftists on campus and all that? How do you talk to them? And it's like, they are not that stupid. They're just uneducated. Okay, they are uneducated and they are misinformed. They are misinformed of what's actually happening in this country or around the world. Okay, so don't be someone like that who's going to be in one of my old videos and get schooled. You want to be someone who says, oh, you know, I can actually talk about these things and be someone who can educate others. All right, here's what I'll say about preparing for what's coming. Being a leader can be very lonely. All right, that is something that people don't want to come to terms with. They think that when you get to a point of knowing enough or being leader enough that people will just flock to you. And that is definitely true. People will flock to you and they will, you know, they will want to see the things that you're doing. But being a real leader, someone who really follows their own path, someone who sets truth above all else, someone who doesn't comply and doesn't put up with the things that other people are telling them to do when it comes to living by lies, that is a hard life to live, because not most people, 99.9% of people, will not live that way. Right. And I'm sure there's a lot of people here now who are watching this who don't want to live that way. I don't entirely live that way. I'm not trying to say that I am one of these people. I have my own flaws and mistakes and things that I make. But I can tell you, as someone who is a leader in this and trying to do my best, and for other people who I talk to who are, you know, trying to be truth tellers, there are not a lot of people who do the same as you. And so that is something that you have to prepare for. When it comes to being this person, preparing for the future, preparing for what is going to happen, whatever it is, you have to be willing to lead, to go on that path somewhat alone and be someone to stand up for these things. Because if you are not that person, no one will. That is what you have to do. You have to be a leader, even if it is lonely. Guys, thanks so much for watching. I appreciate it a lot. You guys can follow us on SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. The podcast is on there. You can follow me on social media at The Will Witt or at The Amala Panobi. She'll be back tomorrow, because I know all of you guys have been, you probably hate just listening to me. Amala will be back. I know, the favorite member of Will and Amala Live. She'll be back tomorrow. You guys can also respond to my blog, thewillwitt.substack.com. That's where I post, not daily, but, you know, bi-daily updates, or semi-daily. Would it be bi-daily or semi-daily? If I post it like every 2 days, that'd be not daily, or not bi-daily. Bi-daily would mean twice a day. What's that? I think bi-daily would mean twice a day. Okay, whatever. You guys understand what I'm saying. I post almost every day on the blog, willwitt.substack.com. It's also in the description. And I think that's about all we got today, guys. Thank you so much. Like this video, comment your thoughts, share with your friends. Appreciate it, guys. Peace.